Right now, Brenton Sanderson. Sando, how are you?
Been better, Robbie. That was a tough night on Saturday night.
Oh, man, that roller coaster ride continues.
Yeah, it's emotionally very draining for our group, you know, and of course for our supporters too, because we have beaten some really good sides and we've played some really good footy, and then we unfortunately we can't get on that streak that we really want to do, and we've had a couple of really great opportunities put in front of us, and we haven't been able to grab them. I know the Suns beat Geelong on the same day. If you know, we were sort of hoping that Geelong would get over the top and give us a chance to get in the eight, but now we're back to, unfortunately, two games outside and still nine games to go. So still a lot of positive energy amongst our group, and we'll keep fighting. But a great opportunity to beat a side in the same position as us, 6-6 on the weekend, and we just couldn't take advantage of it.
You would have dissected the game, you would have, straight after the game, but you would have dissected with the team today, with the leaders and the players. What was the wash-up out of it? What was the main message that came out of it and the message that you would have given to the players from the game?
Yeah, we've still got a long way to go with executing the fundamentals at critical times. I mean, that first quarter, we really shot ourselves in the foot, and we haven't been great at the start of games for whatever reason. And it's execution, and it's not. And I showed the players, because I know we're copying a bit of criticism about it. It sort of looks like the guys don't want to win and don't want to try, but of course they do. Every team, whether you're on top of the ladder or the bottom of the ladder, every team tries exactly the hard. And you know, we've all played. You certainly push yourself, and your energy levels and your desire is still exactly the same. It's just we can't at the moment execute at critical times at the start of the games, and we've actually been really good. When we've won games, we've won first quarters, and again on the weekend, we 7-2, 6. We were playing catch up footy, and we just have to prevent those sides scoring against us so easily early in matches.
You play so well at times, so poorly at other times. Disappointing. When you do play well, it suggests to me that it's a mental problem. It's a psychological issue. Do you have a sports psychologist that you use?
Yeah, we do. We have someone employed here, and also too we use someone externally as well. So they come in every it's either Monday or Tuesday, depending on when we play. So we do have someone externally. We do also use the resources of the AFL Players Association, but that's a bit more. That's not for the sort of match day.
Off-field stuff.
That's more the, I guess, the mental health issues with players. But, yeah, we've got someone here who works full-time, and we've also got someone who we outsource that to as well.
Well, he's having some difficulties, isn't he? Because there's no way knowing you wouldn't have been set for the game. I know the players would have been set for the game. You would have wanted to start well, but you didn't. I mean,
no.
The start was appalling. What does he make of that? What's his...
Well, we watched the first 12 minutes as a group about an hour ago, or about an hour and a half ago, and we stopped it, we paused it, we looked at the three different camera angles that are given to us by the AFL. We lost our first 8 clearances of the game, and that doesn't happen very very often. But when we lost those 8 clearances, Essendon made us pay. So we looked at it. Was it a structural breakdown? And we're in the correct positions, but the execution was poor. So we lost the first centre bounce. They kicked it forward, and Hocking took a mark over Rory Laird, and Brodie Smith sort of jumped and punched that. Hocking was his opponent. They kick the goal, they go back. We lose the next centre bounce. It gets kicked forward, goes out of bounds. Scott Thompson wins the next clearance, but handballs it straight to Paddy Ryder, who then snaps a goal. So we're 2-0 down, and then it goes back to the next centre bounce. We lose that centre bounce. So we broke it down with the players. We identified, was it a structural thing? Was it an effort and energy thing? Or was it an execution thing? And almost every example we had, it was the execution under pressure. So we've just got to keep teaching them, keep learning how to replicate those match types, intensities and stresses and pressure at training. And we are training really hard at that areas. I mean, the boys are ripping each other's heads off during the week trying to replicate that match intensity. But for whatever reasons, we're not getting it consistently in matches, which is disappointing.
Well, that was a question I was going to ask. Do you train hard enough under match conditions? Do you train hard enough and long enough, or are you told by your sports scientist you can only have them for so long?
Yeah, a little bit of that. I mean, I know I've mentioned on your program before, people would be surprised that we probably only get them for about 40 minutes of really high-intensity work a week.
But you're the coach. Well, you can say to the sport, no.
I'd love to do more, and every coach would, but
what have you got to lose?
Well, early in the week, it's primarily recovery. Like, for example, I heard Paddy on the breakfast program this morning. Paddy Dangerfield slept here last night in an ice machine. So, I mean, he can hardly walk the first two or three days after a match. So I can't get him out of that ice machine when he slept here last night and get him out there running today flat out. But we spend early in the week working on technique, ways to execute basic technique flaws. So that's with kicking, marking.
But your technique's appalling at the moment.
Under pressure it is, yeah. So we get them for that 40 minutes on that main session and we just go flat out. We go at match intensity. There's always a few guys. There's always a couple of guys who we have to, and that's the guys you see when you watch the news and you see them with the pink hat on or they've got a different coloured jumper on, because those guys we still can't have contact. But we're doing our very best, and that's what we're trying to do, is replicate match intensity in training sessions, so when we can do it in games, we can actually get better. But we've seen it, and this is what's frustrating for me. It's frustrating for our supporters, and it also the players are scratching their heads too, is we have done it for four quarters in games. We've done it against Collingwood for four quarters and we won. We've done it for four quarters against the Gold Coast Suns, the Kangaroos. We've shown we can do it consistently, but when we were challenged on the weekend early in that match, we didn't stand up to it, and it's unfortunately something that we've got to keep addressing and keep trying to practice.
Sando, what is frustrating? Because Paddy was on our Brekkie show today and he said, we still haven't got an answer, we've got to find one quick. Well, I would have said, Paddy, it's round 14. Sando, it's round 14. Inconsistent performance for me can come down to a number of things. I'd like to know which one you think it is. Is it talent, fitness, leadership, confidence, or knowledge of your team roles?
It's not one thing, Roy. You're like, we're not saying this is the reason that we're being inconsistent. We're trying to work as much as we can on improving all elements of the way that we play. And I know I sometimes hear, your callers ask about the game plan and is that changing, and we always make little minor adjustments to the way that we play depending on who we play as well. It's very different. We haven't handled well this year the teams that just flood numbers back. So against Melbourne we struggled, against Carlton that we struggled. But the sides that play a bit more sort of man-on-man, we actually play really well against those sides. So you can't just play exactly your way every week without having to make just very minor tweaks, very, very minor, to the way that you play. So I know it frustrates me when we see our guys go sideways and backwards. That's the number one thing. The players will say to me at the breaks, they're actually pushing numbers back and our only free targets are sideways or backwards. Well, we say, don't use them. Get those guys to actually push forward. Get even numbers ahead of the ball. So that's the thing that's frustrating us a little bit, is when we take the easy option of going sideways and backwards when we should be taking the game on.
They sound like they're too gun shy to pull the trigger, high risk, high reward footy with the leg. You think you're a good kicking team?
Our kicking efficiency is something that we're working on. We were better on the weekend. Our numbers were better on the weekends, but we are still turning the ball over in bad areas of the game. Essendon kicked the ball at 85% in the first quarter on the weekend, which was really good for them. But then for the rest of the game, they were in the low 60s. In our losses this year, we've been below 60 with our kicking efficiency, which is a little bit about the pressure the opposition put on, but it's mostly about our ability, as Graham just said then, for us to take the game on and almost play with that no fear of making a mistake.
Why don't they move the ball quickly? I mean, surely you demand of them to particularly when the ball's between half back and the midfield, don't go back. Well, why don't they move the ball quickly? It's not the responsibility of the guy playing on. It's his responsibility to deliver accurately, but the responsibility has to come to the player who's run to get to the right position to receive. If somebody turns and plays on, there's no one to give it to. Well, it's not his fault.
Yep.
And they're going into their shells, and by the time they decide to move it, teams are flooded back. Surely the secret is to move the ball quickly, which they're not doing.
No, I'm totally with you there. We need to move the ball quicker and more direct when the opportunities present. The players, though, they won't kick the ball forward if there's... like, we ask a lot of our forward line now to work up the ground and defend, and then if we get a turnover, turn around and run really hard back to goal. Unfortunately, we even showed some edits today where our players chased the ball out of our forward 50, we turned it over, and then when we needed them to go hard back to goal, they were walking with their hands on their hips. But that's the pressures of the modern game. You need to be two-way players and work just as hard in attack as you work in defence.
Are you recovering well enough between games? Because I think that can be a part of the inconsistency as well. Have you got everything you need in your strength and conditioning department? You look down the road, they brag about theirs.
Yep.
How good's yours?
Oh, benchmark. No, we're recovering as well as any other team. We've got access to everything that...
So you don't want anything for this group?
From resources point of view for recovery, no. There's no. I mean, every club wants more, but we've got... That wouldn't be a reason why we're not recovering from games. The guys, we've got some total pros in our club who do everything right, you know, 24/7 to get themselves up for each week, and it's a demanding business now. You know, it's ruthless the way that the guys have to prepare for 22 rounds, and you know, guys like Daniel Talia and Rory Sloan and Paddy Dangerfield do everything they possibly can to ensure that they're 100% right to play each week. And sometimes 7 days or 6 days or 8 days is not long enough, because, you know, boys always take some sort of soreness or injuries into each match. There's no one ever 100% fit anymore, but that's not a reason for anything.
Sando, a loss can...
On that point, though, what is Darren Burgess doing at Port Adelaide that you're not?
I'm not sure. No idea.
And any insight to what he would be doing?
No, I haven't spoke to Darren Burgess this year, no.
Have you got not spies or espionage to work out with? Surely, if it's as they say, and he's the most highly regarded, and they're doing this better than anyone else, and it may be a con job, you know, it may be just to convince their players that they're fitter than they.
I don't think it's a con job. I mean, they obviously do it. They're doing a lot of things right, and they've been good with injuries.
So why would you be trying to find out what they're doing?
I would love to know what exactly they're doing, but at the same time, as Robbie said, I don't think we need anything that we haven't got here at the moment. I think our resources and the team that I've got, you know, working with these boys behind the scenes is as good as anyone. And we've had a bit of issues with guys breaking legs and broken collarbones and those sort of things, which you can't really plan for. They're nothing to do with our resources here. That's just a little bit of that just happens in footy. Sometimes you have a run of knees and shoulders and broken bones and stuff. But you know, we couldn't influence the Brad Crouch broken leg or the Ricky Henderson one in pre-season. You know, when Brent Riley busted his shoulder last year, that was nothing really to do with the resources and stuff we've got here or the way that we're actually training.
The goal kicking is an issue,
yep.
And when you look at the statistics in terms of percentage of goals kicked against total goals behind, you're equal worst in the competition.
Yep.
It's at 56% or something, and that's equal worst. Who is your goal kicking coach?
It's split. It was going to be Dean Bailey. Dean Bailey was set to be doing that this year. We split it between Peter Jonas and Mark Bickley. Bixwork obviously is our forwards coach, and Peter Jonas has got a lot of experience working with forwards and goal kicking, and Paddy Steinfort is our high performance manager who works on the mental side of it. So his focus is replicating the anxieties associated with goal kicking on match day. So as you know,
why isn't it working?
A lot of it is where we have shots from. On the weekend, we kicked 6 goals 6 from set shots. We kicked 2 goals 6 in the first quarter and kicked 12 goals 2 after
including
after
a really a crucial miss in the last quarter by Josh Jenkins.
Yeah, which was an important one. And Josh is, unfortunately, the numbers show that he's one of our most, inefficient in front of goal. But he kicks the ones from 50. He kicked that beautiful one out of the centre bounce. And
yeah.
So unfortunately, the anxiety associated with goal kicking from right in front. And he knew. He looks at the scoreboard, sees it's the last quarter. There's 7 or 8 minutes to go. This goal puts us within if he kicks it, it puts us within a couple of points. Unfortunately, he misses. I think it's... and all of us say, I mean, professional athletes need to be able to block out those that anxiety associated with goal kicking. But Last year, we were still a poor goal-kicking side, but a lot of our shots were really wide. This year, we are missing far too many from the corridor, which we should be able to nail.
The Josh Jenkins last quarter miss was another one too. He'd kicked four goals already. And I bet nobody's discussed with him the psychology of somebody who's not a renowned goal kicker, although he has been this year. The psychology of going from four goals to five goals, all of a sudden he's in uncharted territory. He's going to go from kicking four goals to five goals. That can be a factor in the tension.
It's like we spoke about before. It's about replicating, if you can, replicating anxiety under match conditions at training. But, I mean, you look at NBA, those guys have 500 free throws after every training session. I'd love to say to our guys, before you go in tonight, have 500 shots for goal, but you just can't physically do that. I mean, basketball's a bit different. Same with putting in golf. The best putters just keep practicing and practicing and practicing, but it's not an execution which is draining for the body.
Senior coach, your goal kicking's been poor. Again, it's the worst in the competition this year. What are you demanding of those kicking coaches? Because they're not doing the job well enough.
Oh, I'm very hard on all of our coaches and
all of our
staff.
So then you have to replace them, surely.
I don't think we have to replace them. It's a matter of doing things better. As you said, we need to maybe refine the way that we are practicing. If you've seen the skinny ones, which is a bit like what they do in America with the NFL, where they actually narrow the focus during the week, so the target seems bigger on game day, but. Don't worry, we're not sitting on our hands, and we're not certainly not complacent with where we sit with our accuracy. If we could just straighten ourselves up, it'll make a huge difference to our outcome. But we'll certainly back our boys in, our staff, I mean, to keep working with our boys, and we'll just keep doing everything we possibly can to make our side better. And whether you win, whether you lose, whether your kicking's great or your kicking's poor, we have to just keep teaching, have to keep learning, and players being receptive to different techniques that we're trying to potentially provide for them.
Is it true that Darren Jarman and Tony Modra have made themselves available to help out as kicking coaches?
I hope so. I haven't heard that one, but I wouldn't mind. Mods comes to a fair few of the games and comes down the rooms before the games. I know I've spoken to him previously about potentially coming down and doing some work with our forwards, but, you know, he works on the farm and it's obviously an hour and a half away from here. I think he'd love to come down when the opportunity presents.
Darren Jarman just lives around the corner.
Yeah, he'd be handy. He'd be handy. Wouldn't want outsourcing.
So you're happy to use him if he's available?
We'll use whatever we can use if we think it's going to help us. Yeah, but I just reinforce we are working really hard behind the scenes. I mean, we use every minute of every day available to ensure that we're getting better. And like you said, I wish I could have got the players out today and we did 60 or 70 minutes of match play replication. But you know, 90% of our boys are still really struggling with the rigours of the modern game. You know, the high-intensity running now, the distance they're travelling, the hits that they're getting. We just can't replicate, you know, hard training early in the week.
But you can Thursday.
Yeah, on the main session we certainly can, yeah.
Just a couple of general ones, Sando. Have you defined yet yourself what senior assistant you want or need next year?
Well underway, yeah. I mean, and I said to you guys last time I was on, there's not another Dean Bailey out there. It might be we might get a strategy coach, or we might try and beef up our because Bales was going to do strategy and development. So now, obviously, when Dean passed away, David Noble came into the program a little bit more, but he's still doing a bit of list management. Heath Unis had to pick up a little bit of that development work, and I'm still really happy with the way that those young guys are coming up through the system. You know, we've seen Matt Crouch, we've seen Charlie Cameron, we've seen Cam Ellis-Yolman debut this year. We've had seven rising stars in the last 2.5 years, which is the second most of any other team. So there's still some good kids coming through. A few, you know, like Brown and Kerridge and Laird are just part of our 22 now every week. And there's a few guys on the outside looking in, you know, guys like Mitch Grigg, who showed some great form last year and has been a bit sort of in and out of the side this year. Same with Jared Lyons, has been a bit in and out. And Hardigan's another one who will be a very good long-term player for us. So those guys are there. We keep working with them, and I'm sure they're going to be long-term key players for us.
I know this is a bit early, but there will be change to your footy department. You are a club and you are a coach that wants the best. Yep. So there will be change. Do you think there'll be big change?
We're keeping one eye certainly on who's available. You always got to keep bringing the best people into your club if they're available, and that's not my job right now. I've got to coach the team from day to day. So we've certainly got people seeing, who are out of contract, who's available, who are the best people in these roles, and would they come to the Adelaide Football Club. But that's not just limited to us. That's happening at Port Adelaide. That'd be happening at Hawthorn and at Geelong. It's ruthless. If you want to be the best, you sometimes got to go after the best, and we'll see who's available. But I haven't made any changes to this group around me in the last 2.5 years, and I love working with these people, and like I said, and I ensure our fans that these guys are working their backsides off, and we're doing everything we can to be a better football team, and we are the we want to be better than what we are. We're sitting 11th on the ladder. We're 2 games out of the 8. That's not where we want to be. We're not complacent with that, and we're certainly not satisfied. But there's no one sitting around not doing any work. We're working our backsides off.
They're a team that has to have the job in front of them. They're a team that are far better when they're not expected to win. And I saw your comment.
Backs against the wall.
Against the wall. Well, you would have thought they were against the wall on Saturday. Your comments on headlined on the paper. I know you have no control over the headlines, but you give the fodder to the media. We're going to be ruthless against Essendon, and they played as well as you'd seen them play against Northmen. Those sort of quotes are then amplified.
Yeah.
I just wish you wouldn't be so positive and optimistic publicly.
Yeah. Well,
you're just giving them fodder, surely.
No, I believe in my team. I see these guys up close and personal every day, and the drive and determination is there with this group, and they really want to win. It's really hurting them when we are inconsistent, and we are searching for the answers, and we're trying to teach and coach. But I believe we can win. I believe every game we play that we can win. And the question I know about Essendon was, were we going to show any mercy on them because of what they're going through? And then I said, we're not going to show any mercy. And then, of course, that's the headline, unfortunately. But you have to beat every team you come up and play against. This week we've got Port Adelaide. We know that that's our arch rival, and that's the team that every South Australian Crow supporter really wants to beat. And don't worry, we do too, but we wanted to beat Essendon just as much. We wanted to beat North Melbourne the week before just as much. There's never any let up with us. We never go into any game feeling like it's okay if we drop this game or if we lose this game. We go flat out trying to win every game that we play. We got off to a poor start on the weekend. It wasn't effort, it was execution. And every team we've played against this year, we've gone out doing our very best to win.
I think your effort's been good. I think the intensity's been good. But it's been the execution and the willingness to take the game on. They just guys go into this year. But there's you might think this is a frivolous question. But
don't ask.
No, it's a serious it's a serious issue.
There you go.
Eddie Betts' shorts. Don't laugh, because he last week in North America, he seemed to have shorts that fitted him properly. The two previous games where he's worn white shorts.
White shorts, yeah.
Fremantle and the weekend.
Stop smiling, Sando.
Well, again, he was tackled by his shorts.
He gets grabbed when he can potentially run away. Yeah.
Why can't you get him to wear shorts that fit him?
Come on, Eddie.
It's a good point. I've never brought it up with him, but something that probably doing those little ones, the little one percenters. But now that you mention it, he does get caught by the shorts too often, which you'd hate for it to cost you a game.
He won some 50-50 balls that he shouldn't have on the weekend.
Well,
he
he's one guy,
that kid.
He's one guy in red hot form. He's one guy that's really playing out of his skin at the moment. And and it happens in, it's very boring, because in every win, why did you win today? Well, we actually got an even contribution from 22 players, and unfortunately we haven't had four quarter quality output from our 22 often enough this season. And we have from some guys have had fantastic seasons. Other guys have been a bit patchy with exactly like our win-loss record. There's guys that have played 5 or 6 really good games and 5 or 6 games that have been below their best, and that probably shows where we sit on the ladder.
So Eddie is in good form. You can't hit targets short. You appear to be going too shallow in your forward line entries. Why on earth won't you attack the goal square with a big player down there with Eddie as a crumbing forward, highly paid crumbing forward, one of the best in the competition? What is wrong with going long to the goal square? Essendon did.
No, there's nothing wrong with it at all. I think that's when we do play our best footy. We kick 14 goals 8 on the weekend, and most of those, apart from some of the Josh Jenkins bombs from outside 50, were when we really pressured the top of the goal square, and that's where Walker, Podsy Adley, and Jenkins can compete. And then we get guys like Betts and Matty Wright and these sort of guys who are sort of crumbing front and square. So it's certainly a focus point of us. We talk about inside 30s, not inside 50s. Mm-hmm. I know they've got that big marker on the ground, which is the 50 metre line, but we, as most clubs do, this is no secret, but we talk about inside 30s, not inside 50s. And I have to agree with you. When we look shallow and when we dump it to sort of high forward 50, that's when the ball gets turned over and gets slung back the other way.
Cornsy also wanted Johnny Platt and Tom Alvin and Greg Anderson to cut their hair, Sando, so just keep that in mind. Win the showdown, all will be forgotten. That's the text messages we're getting.
No, not really. It wouldn't all be forgotten because we need to play more consistent footy. But, yeah, this is a massive week. And we, like Port, it's a great week in South Australia, and it's a fantastic time to be involved at both football clubs because we do love this rivalry, and it's one that we certainly embrace. And our home game, which is great, so it'll be full of... it'll be sold out by Crows fans, and hopefully they'll make some noise.
Can I have a request, Tom Lynch and Brad Crouch in, if I was sitting on selection? I know Brad was reported. Yep. I would put him in this week.
Yeah, I mean, those boys will both go very close. When they're in form and they're going well, those guys are in our best 22, so those guys will be certainly in the mix this week.
Well done, Sando. Get down there to the 19th man. It's full out there in the Crow Shed. Thanks for your time. A good half hour, and all the best for the rest of the year.
Pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Well done, Sando. Brenton Sanderson, our guest.